This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Dina Lynch. You may also know me as musician and activist Jaguar Jones. I'm the host of this series of Tall Tales and True for the ABC. We've been all around the country this season hearing stories from everyday Aussies about how they've overcome life's challenges. And to wrap this series up, I want to share with you a story that I told live on stage in Brisbane earlier this year. I performed this story at GOMA in conjunction with the Motorcycle Design Art Desire exhibition in April 2021. The event was presented by the Queensland Art Gallery of Modern Art in partnership with Yarn Storytelling. Art is my first love, but motorcycling is a close second. I keep getting knocked down, both metaphorically and literally, and here's how I get back up again. This story has some strong language.
One of the things I love the most about riding motorcycles is that it feels like I'm giving myself a moment out of my crazy, chaotic life. It's another form of meditation for me where I get to be present with my mind, my body, and my bike. It's just me, my bike, and the open road. I think most motorcycle riders will say the same thing. Because things like anxiety, sadness, stress get smaller, and then things like race, gender, and age cease to matter. And the pleasure of being on the open road is it's just me and the beautifully crafted machine, and that is freedom. Freedom that lasts until I get off my bike and take off my helmet. I grew up with my Taiwanese mother, and I don't know if anyone knows what Asian mothers are like, but daughters and motorcycles, no. Huge no. So she told me, because she knew I always wanted to get into motorcycles, she told me if I was going to buy a bike, she would absolutely kill me. So you're not talking to me today. She's already killed me. I bought my first bike 7 years ago, and the ghost that you're talking to today bought a Yamaha 1997 SRV 250. I've since upgraded to a Ducati Scrambler Classic and a 1984 Suzuki TS185 for off-road and all sorts of cheeky shenanigans. I've attended motorcycle events such as Dust Hustle, Classic Dirt, Throttle Roll and Aftershock, and I was part of the Sailor Jerry Can Ride documentary that saw us riding for 2 weeks from Melbourne to Brisbane, through all the gorgeous snowy mountains, outbacks, towns and countrysides that Australia has to offer. I've met so many incredible people through riding. And although the pleasure of the riding on the open road is gender, age and race neutral, I have found that most people assume that I'm either a man, associated with a man, or have absolutely no idea what I'm doing, which was true in the beginning. What am I gonna say next? Oh yeah, so I'll tell you a story. You know, these interactions, although most of the time is frustrating, it's also sometimes really hilarious and it brings out my sassy side, and I feel like that's the side you're gonna meet tonight. So this one time, I was riding home from South Bank in the left lane, so just close to here, and an Uber driver in the right lane, kind of similar to your story, Kobe, decided to turn left from the right lane at the very last minute without shoulder checking, so rammed me, T-boned me into a fence. And he panicked, quickly pulled out, didn't even offer me a towel, and drove away. Yeah, and so this witness comes running towards me and was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Look after my bike." And I got up with all the adrenaline pumping through my body, and I chased after the Uber driver. So here I was feeling like I was a bloody transformer, and at the time could not feel a shred of pain in my body, and I am really not telling this story to recommend you to do the same thing, but at the time I was gunning for my shred of justice, okay? And so he was stopped at a red light, luckily. And when he saw me through his window, his face was in so much shock. And at the time I was chuffed, but it's probably because I was still wearing my helmet. And I forgot all my manners and all my pleasantries. And I opened that door without knocking, unclicked his seatbelt, pulled him out, saw his wallet on the side door, grabbed his wallet, flipped it open, looked at his ID, and started demanding for his insurance details. All of that. And his reaction to me was, "Oh, thank fuck, I thought you were a man. Oh, you're just a girl. Oh." And I don't know what's worse, the fact that he assumed I was a man or that he was okay with leaving any human on the side of the road. Anyway, I definitely think it's the latter, but that's not my point of the story today. He paid for my damages. That's the point of my story today. No, it wasn't. And then afterwards, he had the balls to ask me out on a date. Yeah. Yeah, I accepted. No, of course I accepted. No. No, I actually strongly declined. I strongly declined and said to him, "How on earth are we ever going to explain to our family and friends that we romantically met after you negligently did a hit and run on me?" And like, maybe I could be wrong and we could have been the cutest fucking couple in Brisbane, but I'm never going to find out. Since then, I've encountered my fair share of ageist, sexist, or racially insensitive remarks. And like, although they are meant with no ill intent, they are microaggressions and ignorances that we do need to be aware of. Today, though, feel free to both learn and laugh. So another time, I was getting my bike scrutineered at a flat track race, and I had a loose brake cable. And the scrutineering man asked me, "Do you have a significant other that can help you with that?" To which I replied, well, I wish I had replied. Let's pretend I replied like that. To which I had replied, "I sure do. Let me grab one of my many wives over here to help me with that." Or maybe I wish I had asked, "Yeah, sure. Do you also have a significant other that can help me make a sandwich to eat while I tighten up that loose brake cable?" I'm totally just kidding. I'm just kidding. Or another time at a classic bike race meetup, a racer dude came up to me and said, "More people like you should come to these events. Good on you for turning up." I had no idea what he meant. I didn't know what differentiated me from other people, so I asked him. And I'd been to that event many, many times before. So I asked him, "What do you mean, more people like me?" To which he replied, "Yeah, you know, young, Asian, women." It was all three. I felt like it was all three in three words, like pew, pew, pew. Oh, what else is there? Oh, yeah. And then there's always the ever lingering, "So, did your dad get you into riding bikes?" Yeah? Or was it your boyfriend that got your passion for bikes fired up? Or when I answer that I now ride a Ducati Scrambler, I'll cop the assumption, "Oh, you're on one of those learner-approved Ducati Scramblers that they just released in those cute colors, yeah?" No. Actually, my engine is way bigger than yours. Not that size ever mattered, right? Historically, machines like motorcycles belong to men. And advertisements and pop culture aimed at men, surrounding motorcycles have always been aimed at men. And when we do see women in advertisements and pop culture, they are normally sexy, scantily clad, and draped over the bike rather than riding it. And while there is nothing wrong with this, and you might say that it is liberating, or on the other side of things, you might say that it is another form of objectification, whatever side you sit on, I can say with 100% certainty that most women motorcycle riders would choose not to wear short shorts and a string bikini when riding a motorcycle on the open road. It just seems extremely uncomfortable. And not only that, it's also extremely dangerous. And I prefer to keep my skin attached to my body, especially if I'm going to get clipped by another Uber driver who could potentially be my future husband. I think we need to be changing the conversations around women riding bikes. Because until we see more women, more images of women riding bikes, until we see advertisements and products around for women, not just as passengers and decorations, but as riders, until we foster environments with less macho testosterone heat so that women feel welcomed and need to not prove themselves, until we have more women motorcycle clubs, so glad to learn one tonight, Dykes on Bikes, and programs, until we reduce the microaggressions and ignorant remarks that hurts and isolates, we women motorcycle riders will have to forever explain that, yes, this is my bike and not my significant other's, and yes, would you believe it, I rode it here all by myself. It's not motorcycles that engender age or specify your race. It's people that do. So whether you're an Anne Hathaway in a tight Kevlar catsuit racing away like the road queen you are, or you're a grease monkey that customizes every little thing on your bike, tightening up loose brake cables across the lands, or you just want a more convenient, more exciting way to get to work, or you're like me, who finds motorcycles exciting, liberating, calming, and most importantly, economically efficient. Don't let anybody hold you back. That goes for everyone. Let's just have some fun. Yay!
That was me, Dina Lynch, performing at the GOMA in conjunction with Yarn earlier this year in Brisbane. And if you've loved any of the episodes this season, send them to someone who would love them too. You can listen to the other stories in this season or any previous story we've done on Tall Tales and True on the ABC Listen app or wherever you find your podcasts. This series was produced by Bree Steele. The executive producer is Monique Bowley. And this series of Tall Tales and True was hosted by me, Dina Lynch. Okay, if you've listened this far, you're the kind of person that loves brilliant Aussie stories, right? Well, we have a whole other podcast I think you should try. It's called Days Like These, and believe me when I tell you, it's the best Australian stories you've never heard of, like this one. A story about the ties that bind and the people who are always there for us, even when you don't expect it.
I say, it's going to be okay. I promise you, I'll come and get you. Just hold tight. I'll be there in 2 hours. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But I don't actually know if that's true.
That's from the Days Like These podcast. That episode is so, so beautiful. It's called Long Way Home. Find it by searching for Days Like These in the ABC Listen app or wherever you find your podcasts.